This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Five Star Zone with Rico Beard.
Welcome to another edition of the Five Star Zone. I'm your host, Rico Beard, and we're going to move on to college hoops, Big Ten hoops. More importantly, Michigan State played. And here's the thing. On Wednesday night, MSU wins the game 81-62 over the University of Michigan. But the funny thing about it is it was probably the most lackluster rivalry game that I've seen in the Michigan State history in a long time. Now, for years, it was intense. The Izzone and the Maze Rage would constantly go at the players. The Izzone showed up. Don't get me wrong. They showed up and they cheered and they did everything. Didn't have the same intensity. Didn't have the same venom. I mean, it's been downright toxic over the last few years. It got sanitized, and I don't know if a lot of it has to do with the Lions playoff run. I don't know if some of it has to do with everything that's going on in the field for Michigan State football, or just the high expectations and how far they've fallen from the number four ranking. Or for Michigan, you won the national title in football, so you just not care about what's going on with Juwan Howard and the team. It's Doug McDaniel on a part-time suspension. He's a little bit pregnant. He's half wet. He's suspended for the away games, but he can play in the home games. I've never seen that before. But through all of it, it was like different. I've been to a lot of Michigan State games at both the Breslin Center and both Chrysler. I'll be honest with you, there was more intensity when Michigan State played Greg Campy and the Oakland Golden Grizzlies. When Pierre Brooks Jr. showed up with Butler this year at the Breslin Center, it was more intensity. I mean, you felt it. You didn't feel it in the crowd. It was really weird. And for the first half, it was a close game. Michigan had the lead 35-33 at the half. But I don't think anybody thought that they were going to win the game. And then, you know, they come out there and Tyson Walker steals the ball. And right after that steal, it seemed like State just went on this long run, and before you know it, they were up. They were down by 4, and then they were up by 10 or 12, and they never looked back. And, you know, somehow or another, I don't know what the Michigan game plan was, but let's leave Jay Nakins, Michigan State shooting guard, open for 7 wide-open three-pointers. It was like, guys, what kind of defense? And, I mean, MSU scored, I believe, 36 points in the paint, except a lot of those points were just the guards driving to the baskets for easy layups. This wasn't Cooper. This wasn't Matty Sissoko. I mean, Malik Hall did get some post-up stuff, and he would drive in there, but I mean, it was like a layup. It was like I was watching Moneyball. It just seemed like the Michigan defense was non-existent. I mean, at the end, it's just like Juwan's just, I'm sitting there by the Michigan bench. He's just sitting, he's got his arms crossed. It was Izzo's birthday. He got his 700th victory. The loudest the place got was the bricking for chicken, where if the opponent misses 2 straight free throws, the student section, like, you can go and redeem and get some free chicken nuggets at the local restaurant. That's the loudest the place got, because I think Michigan missed like 4 pair of free throws. Like, as soon as you missed the first one, the crowd would go nuts trying to get you to miss the second one. That was it. I mean, there were no creative chant. It was very weird. I don't think I've experienced anything like that before. MSU wins the game. Michigan loses. Michigan's now sitting dead last in the Big Ten. Michigan State in like a 4 or 5 way tie for fifth with the home game against Maryland coming up this weekend, where they can kind of start to separate themselves into the upper echelon. They need that game. It's a home game to kind of put them on pace to maybe flirt with that 4 seed and get the bye in the Big Ten tournament. But it was just a weird game, and I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that before. Game was on Peacock, which it's almost fitting because it wasn't even on national TV. You had to go online to stream it. It was weird. I don't know what's going to happen on the return trip to Chrysler. Will the Maize Rage get fired up with Doug McDaniel being in the game and on the bench? Will that change how it feels? It was just, I mean, there was even no chance about him from the Izzo. So it was like, people were there, but it wasn't like it was where, you know, you got the Trey Burks chirping and stealing the ball away from Appling. It wasn't the Kalen Lucas letting the Chrysler crowd know this is my MF in house when he hit a shot. You didn't get any of that. It wasn't, you know, the blowing of the kiss to the Izzo. That's to me was when it was there. Last night, really wasn't there. But speaking of the Big Ten tournament, there will be some changes next year. The Big Ten came out. Of course, the four Pac-12 teams, which now new Big Ten teams, are joining USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington, joining the conference. The schedule next year in hoops will be as this. There'll be a 20-game schedule. You're going to play every team one time, and you'll play three teams twice, depending on the region. So like the Michigan State rivalry, they'll probably still play twice. And then you'll flip-flop. The goal is so that everybody can play in 2 years, you'll play in every arena in the Big Ten. The other big thing that came out was the Big Ten tournament and the structure. No longer will every team play in the Big Ten tournament, because it'll still be a 5-day tournament. But now, of the 18 teams that will be playing, only the top 15 teams will advance to play in the Big Ten tournament. So if you're sitting, you're the last three teams, your season is done come March. That's it. It's over. Because at that point, you're probably not going to the NIT or the CBI or whatever broke down tournament that's left for the bad teams. You're not playing in it. It's going to be the top four teams, instead of getting a bye, the top four teams will now get a double bye. Teams 5 through 8 will get a bye. It'll still be a 5-day event, but it's going to be 15 teams, the top 15, instead of the top 18 teams, which I'm okay with because, you know, let's face it, if you eliminate some bad basketball games, and let's just get straight into the teams that actually deserved it. If you're at the bottom of the Big Ten, chances are you were going to lose anyway. Now, does it take away from the March Madness? It does, but let's be real. It doesn't happen that often that you get a team like, I think Ohio State and Penn State were the only teams that kind of really ran the table and came out of nowhere in years past and won the whole thing. Most of the time, your Big Ten winner, it comes from the top four teams. It's really, really rare that the winner is not from the top four, but then the winner is normally from the top six. So, yeah, that's the new structure. You're going to play every team once. You're going to play three teams twice, and you're going to flip-flop. So if you go to Oregon this year, Oregon comes to you next year, and vice versa. That way you play in every venue in the Big Ten. So that's the new thing, the schedule that's coming up for next season. It's going to be fun, kind of like the football season. I'm interested just to see some of the newness and how they handle this, which, you know, also leads me to think that all I don't want to call them Pac-12 teams, but let's just call them for Pac-12 teams for the sake of argument. USC and they'll all play each other. They'll probably try to keep that regionalized so that they will have their own type of rivalries and play each other twice. It probably means that, you know, in this area, like MSU will play Michigan twice and maybe Ohio State twice and maybe Purdue twice or Indiana twice or Northwestern twice, like somebody that's localized to you so that you're not going all across. So if you're Michigan or Michigan State, probably not going to be playing Penn State, but once a year, Maryland once a year. That's Iowa once a year. So either you're going to be at Carver Hawkeye or they're going to be at Chrysler or at the Breslin Center. So that's the new setup and the new tournament, which starts not this season, but next season. Top 15 teams will make the tournament. Bottom three, your season's over. It's kind of, think of it like this. In bowl season, if you don't have a winning record, your season ends probably around the day after or 2 days after Thanksgiving. That's it. You don't get the bowl practices. You don't get any of that stuff. Same is going to hold true with basketball. Your season will be over after senior day, and you got the summer to look forward to in football season because you're not going to be playing any more basketball. But chances are your team probably sucked and didn't deserve anything anyway. So that's it for now. I will be back later. But, yeah, I just kind of wanted to break down just that Michigan-Michigan State basketball game. I mean, it was cool to see Tom Izzo get his 700th victory. It was on his birthday. The crowd stuck around. I think the crowd was more into it after the game, just cheering Tom for getting to victory number 700, listening to his speech where he's like, we're not dead yet, and, you know, cheering him on for his birthday. But during the game, it just didn't have the same feel. We'll see what happens when the return trip happens in a few weeks when Michigan State goes to Chrysler. Maybe it'll be a different environment. Maybe it'll be a different game. Or at this point, I mean, a lot of Michigan fans, I think they're tuned out because they're waiting for their next head basketball coach. They're not really feeling Juwan Howard anymore. And I think Juwan is kind of seeing that. He said something in the press conference last night before I finish up where they asked him about Tom Izzo and 700 victories. And he was just saying, I'm paraphrasing, but the quote was, well, I just hope that I can see that one day. And it was just kind of one of those, that's interesting that you phrased it that way. Like, I just hope that I can see that one day, as if he knows the sword of Damocles is swinging right over his head and he's going to probably get whacked sooner than later. But yeah, will the fans even care, or is it Michigan State's going to be there, so we got to pack the house, or do Spartan fans just buy up all the tickets to Chrysler and Michigan says we don't care? Because it ain't like the Chrysler fans are really showing up in packs. So we'll see what happens in a few weeks. But for right now, I just wanted to kind of comment on the game at the Breslin Center and break down the new Big Ten rules for basketball and the Big Ten tournament in future years. So I'm your host, Rico Beard. Thanks for watching. Keep liking, keep subscribing. You've been watching the 5-Star Zone.